Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and it's time for Under the Hood here, where we talk about your car problems, or any kind of wives' tales you want us to work on. We're happy to do that. The phone number you'd call in is 602-508-0960. You get there first, you get served first, one of those kinds of things, but we'll move through as quickly as we can. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. There's three or four transmission shops in the valley. And I think there's like a west side, a north side, a south side, and an east side. Transmission shops that have my mark that says that they're the best they are. And I've got years and years of data to show that they make their customers happy and they do the right thing. They're always willing to have the Better Business Bureau look over their shoulder. And many, many times, they'll have to do things they don't necessarily want to do because it's the right thing. And that's what I'm especially proud about is that they do what they need to do. Quality Transmission has Steve and Bob, and they are who you need to call. They have many years of experience. They don't guess with your money. They know how to repair transmissions. And they're located in Tempe on McClintock north of University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive. That's Quality Transmission. And again, that's in Tempe on McClintock just north of University. Dave Silva here is with me. He's going to fly co-pilot this hour. Good morning, Dave.
How you doing, Mark?
Good, good, good.
Thanks for having me back on your show.
No problem. Dave is a service writer, so he's actually the kind of person that you deal with when you take your car in. So we bring Dave on just so he get a perspective of the service writer. But Dave, I was at breakfast this morning, and Ted, a good friend of mine, is a carpet salesman. And he was the same guy that a year or so ago told everybody he had his wife spayed. And that went over like, you know what I'm talking about. So this is what he tells us this morning at breakfast. He says, this morning at breakfast, I woke up this morning and my wife told me she hated me as much as she's ever hated me in her life.
Wow.
She said, I hope you die a long and brutal death. I want you to move out. And he said, it sounds like you want me to stay. Now, I don't believe a word he says, but that's, and then let me tell you something else that's really kind of, and this has nothing to do with cars. My family, my grandfather came to the state of Arizona in 1900. He boarded a boat from the Mediterranean, and he came across the ocean, and instead of landing on the eastern seaboard, he landed in the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the boat had some kind of serious sickness, so they put him in a chain link enclosure on the beach because they had no other choice. Mm-hmm. This is the way the family story goes. This American doctor sees that there's two young kids inside this enclosure, a young lady and my grandfather, who was 12 or 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. So he pulls them out, and he cures them. Now, I'm not quite sure if they have scurvy or malaria or what they had, but disease that you got when you crossed and you didn't eat your fruit or whatever.
Right.
So as they migrate north, the doctor is providing medical assistance to people on his way. So my grandfather got some of that experience, and him and the young lady were involved in that. So when they got to Douglas, Arizona, of course, this is long before Arizona was a state. This is 12 years before we were a state. And this was just at the turn of the century. The doctor says, you know, I understand you wanted to just get to the United States. So here's like $5. God bless you. Good luck. So that's how our family got started in Douglas in the 1900s. My grandfather was brown-haired and blue-eyed, which is very stereotypical from the Lebanese people or the Middle Eastern people. So the other night we went, my brother and I and my sister, we went to a restaurant at 59th Avenue and Bell called Cleopatra's. And it was a brand-new restaurant, and it talked about Middle Eastern food. So we went to Cleopatra's, and the grand opening was last Saturday, and I guess the place was just packed. And my brother had seen an ad, so we decided to try it. And the idea was to compare this food with the food that my grandmothers had made for us. So this was homemade Lebanese food. They call it stuff like tabbouleh, kibbeh. They have an eggplant dip. They have rosa yuknay. They have all this food, but it's you would recognize it if you saw it. So we go in, and we have one of the nicest meals we've ever had in our life. It was just like sitting down. My grandmother, Sitho, is deceased, but she could cook, and as a result of her teaching other members in our family, they can cook pretty well as well. But this was heaven. This was truly, truly heaven. This guy, Tony, the manager, the owner, was a young man who really knows about Mediterranean food preparation. Of course, he has his father in the kitchen as chef and menu expert. And we had told the server that we were we had good knowledge about Lebanese food when the server asked if we wanted any help. So we ordered two big appetizers, and then after that we ordered four entrees, and then after that we ordered stuff to take home. But the thing that my wife doesn't like, it's called kibbeh naye, which is a lamb. It's kind of a, for lack of a better, it's kind of like a hamburger with spices, but it's right. Raw. Okay, now kibbeh by itself is cooked, and they have little footballs, they call them. But kibbeh naye is uncooked. And, of course, my wife can't handle that, but I brought home a plate the size of my hand of kibbeh naye. So Tony came out and greeted us, and we told him this is probably the top place we've been in the Phoenix area. The food was excellent, prepared very authentic. And we were basing that against what Sitho had made and the recipes that had been handed down to us. So if any of you really like Lebanese or Mediterranean food, then we would suggest that you stop by Cleopatra's at 56th Avenue in Vail. And I can almost assure you that if you know anything about that kind of food, that you will be very happy. And Tony said to us, he goes back to Lebanon every year, and so I don't want to travel to Europe, but if he was going and he took us, I'd follow him.
You'd be in.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, you know, my brother and I and our wives will go with you if you'll let us. And we'd just like to shadow you. How long are you there? And he goes, oh, a week or two. Just go there and see family and stuff. And so he said, well, we'd like to go with you if you ever decide to do that. But other than that, how was your week this week? School started, was it popping?
Yeah. It seems to slow down a little bit this time of year. That's, I guess, somewhat expected, but yeah, it did slow down a little bit. I guess the schools seem to start earlier and earlier around here, so I guess this was the first week back, but it showed the things had slowed down a little bit. It wasn't too bad, but a little bit from last week, yes.
And I think this is one of the first years where we've had school starting that spread out over a month period of time.
Yeah.
We just had some of the schools start this week. Now, this next week, there's some, and then some more. I remember when we didn't start school, everybody started right around the last week of August, the 1st of September. Here we are in July, and we're starting school.
Yeah, I don't know how those. If I was a little kid, I'd be protesting. I remember, back when I was in school, it seemed to always start around the September 9th or September 15th or something like that. So, yeah, July. It seems like kind of a ripoff.
Yeah, well, and I think that they have so many days they have to get in, and I think because of rainstorms and tornadoes and all that kind of stuff, perhaps that's the reason. Let's get more days in case we have some natural disasters, in case we have a lot of water flooding or whatever, some kind of a weather kind of thing. Any interesting cars this week that you fixed? Any interesting cars that came in?
I actually found something this week I had never seen before.
Okay.
And this was a 06 Chrysler Pacifica.
Okay.
And, we had some weird noise. The customer had reported some rattling sounds from under the hood, which, is pretty normal. But you don't usually see it being a result of a worn camshaft. And this was... this was after we suspected at first that it might have been just some noise from the lifters or the rocker assembly rather, but we tore into this thing and it ended up actually being one of the cams on the lobes on the cam was pretty worn, which you see from time to time, but not often. It's right. More often it's valve trade noise, but that was unusual because apparently those parts are pretty hard to come by, and I have to wait. I'm a week into my 2 week wait of getting the parts to replace the customer. She understood. She's going to go ahead and get it repaired. But that was kind of a rough one because we thought at first that we were just looking at, replacing some lifters there, and it ended up being a bit of a bigger job. But You know, sometimes that's the way it is. You can't really tell what's going on until you get in there and, you know, lay eyes on the problem. So
was it clear at the very beginning that it was an engine related and speed of the engine noise?
Yeah,
or what could
have
been in the dashboard?
No, I mean, it was definitely related to the RPM of the motor. So,
okay.
And I heard the noise myself. I thought for sure it was coming from the valve train. It sounded very much like any other valve train noise. But
well, it is if it's coming from the camshaft.
Well, yes. But
you would have assumed it would have been a space away, a push rod away from the camshaft.
Correct.
So a rocker, a lifter, or whatever.
Right. But
now, we've seen a couple of camshafts go bad in some high mileage. We had a Tahoe in and a Denali the end of the other day, Denali, that had a 6.2 liter and it had a bad cam in it.
Mm-hmm.
We replaced the motor on that one. And then we had another one that we had to replace all the valves and the lifters and the camshaft that was a dual fuel Tahoe, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Flex fuel?
Yeah, flex fuel one. And so that those were interesting as well. Speaking of cars, let me talk to you about something real quick, and then we'll get back to where we were going to go.
2 minutes.
Ford's recall came out this week, and I can't tell you how glad I am that the recall came, but I want you to know that Ford knew about this problem 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and it wasn't until Sage Bloom died in Payson because the throttle stuck on her escape that Ford decided to do something. Now, they were at that inspection. They got to see the throttle stuck. It's the first first verifiable throttle stick I've ever seen in my life. Now, when we come back, I'm going to describe to you how evidently Ford's going to fix the problem, and I'm going to tell you my opinion on what the word is on how they're going to fix the problem and how the problem is. But here's the deal. There's just shy of a half a million Ford Escapes out there in the United States, and there's many of them here in Phoenix, that have a cruise control cable problem. And Sage was
1 minute.
Sage was 17 years old. She came down to the valley to buy her first car. Her mother's following her. They're driving up. They get to ride. They start to go up the hill. And folks, you know, you have to push the throttle down pretty deep on the floor to climb Rye Hill. So she does, and the throttle sticks.
Oh, no.
Oh, big time. Big time throttle stick. So she blows through Payson. The Payson Police Department has a minute and 45 seconds advance notice. She's involved in the collision, and she dies. And the sad part is I'm waiting for Ford's excuse on why it took them so long to step up when they actually had video of this from their own staff a long time ago. So when we come back, we'll talk more about the Ford recall. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We'll also tell you how to fix your own car when we come back.
Did you know Raintree Auto Repair is ranked number one in the entire United States?
Raised up from under my hood, and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good."
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Mark Salem, Dave Silva here to help you with your car questions if you have one. 602-508-0960. We were just talking about this Ford recall on the Escapes. And let me just give you a brief rundown what this is all about. There's a throttle that makes your car go faster. And there's two cables that are attached to what we call the throttle shaft or the throttle blades. One cable's from the throttle, and one cable's from the cruise control. And they both have the ability to pull on the throttle to make your car go faster. There's this cable guide, this little plastic cable guide, that's as if you stuck a straw over a pencil. Okay? And it's supposed to keep the cable straight and horizontal and level. But it doesn't. It breaks. And when it breaks, it allows this cable attachment to go from like 12 o'clock, the pivot point is the bottom of the hands of the clock. And the pivot point can go up to 12 o'clock and go down to 6 o'clock and anywhere in between 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. There's a rib on the engine cover, and the engine cover is that pretty piece of plastic that they have to put on the top of the motor for God knows why. And that pretty piece of plastic has a ridge underneath it, and that throttle will hang up on that rib, and there's nothing you can do to unstick the throttle. Nothing. The default is put it in neutral and just coast off to the side of the road. You'll still have power brakes. You'll still have power steering. When you get off the side of the road, you shut the car off. Neutral first, get off, shut it off. That's how you get out of it. Unfortunately, Sage didn't have that chance. And when the inspection came, I guess there was some really sad eyes because they found what they suspected, but it was something very unusual. So what they're going to do, start off with, is Ford has said publicly that they're going to first, they don't have the parts to fix it yet, so they're going to disconnect your cruise control cable. So no matter what you do, you need to get that done if you have an Escape from 2001 to 2004. The Mazda Tribute is also part of this recall, and I think their age range is much bigger. I think it's 7 or 8 years, where the Escape is only a 3 year. It's 2004, 2000, or 2001, 2, 3, and 4, so it's 4 years. Then there was some talk on the internet and in some of the news that they were going to fix the cover by raising the cover up so that this interference wouldn't happen. And I got to tell you, I think that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And here's why. People aren't going to know that these little washers or spacers are the difference between life or death. And so when you take the four screws off this cover and you lift the cover up, some of these washers will stick to the cover and some of them will fall off. People aren't going to know. Who's going to know that? Who's going to know how important these washers are? Other than dealership techs. And of course, we know they don't fix every car in the world. So when you look at this, you say, wow, we've seen them before. Let me give you an alternative plan. Not that I'm the brightest guy in the
world.
Let me give you an alternative plan. They give us a template, a paper template that we lay over the cover. And they tell us, mark this spot and then cut a 2-inch hole with a hole saw. And what we're going to do is we're going to cut that area out where it can never interfere again. What happens if we space the cover up a quarter of an inch and it's made of plastic and the engine gets really hot and the plastic bows down and it takes up that quarter inch plus more? What happens then? What happens if somebody damages the cover and the cover ends up being pushed down? What happens if somebody stands on the cover? Why don't we just hole saw that thing out? Because the cover's not there for any reason anyway other than to say it's forward. We don't want to take it off, but we just hole saw that area out, take a 2-inch hole saw, and we are done. But time will tell. It just aggravates me that Ford is still recalling cars. The other day there was a truck that was recalled for the same switch, and it's been going on for at least 10 years. They've had 3 or 4 revisions of the same thing. And at the very beginning, it started a fire. Some of the cars were in the garage, and it would take the house with them, and through the grace of God, few people died. So when you look at the big picture here, you say, oh, we had a recall once on this cruise control canceling device on the master cylinder. Everybody else uses the brake light switch, but not Ford. They decide to put in a different switch, and then they don't fuse the switch. So when the fuse gets, or when the switch gets hot, there's no fuse to pop, and then the car catches fire. The car, the truck, the motorhome, all kinds. So we have revision one, and guess what happens? Revision one doesn't work. Revision 2, let's try that. That doesn't work. Revision 3, now finally, they're going to actually delete that part. They're going to put a fuse in the circuit, then they're going to move the signal to what? Something else. This probably is going to be the fix. You expect more out of Ford. Now, it has nothing to do with the local dealers, folks. They're not the ones that make the car. It has to do with Mama Ford. That's what it has to do with. Doug, you're up first, buddy. How can we help you?
Yeah, Mark, I have an 05 Lincoln LS. It's got 77,000 miles. I just had the plugs and boots changed just because of the miles.
Okay.
And also, around 50, it would start cutting in and out, like it's surging or it was... I thought, well, maybe that might help that problem. But it hasn't. It still has that problem around 50, maybe 2,000 RPM.
Okay.
Now, I heard that each spark plug has a coil.
That's right. It's called coil over ignition, COI.
And Ford was supposed to have an extended warranty for that. Now, I don't know if an owner of a LS told me this.
Okay. You have to have a check engine light first, though. Do you have a check engine light?
No, I've had no check engine light with this issue.
All right. The check engine light will say, the computer will say, you know what? I've got a problem with number 6 cylinder. I don't know if it's the coil. I don't know if it's the boot. I don't know if it's the plug. I don't know if it's a mechanical issue, if I'm floating a valve. I got a problem with the efficiency of number 6, number 2, number 8, whatever it is. So the thing that has to happen first before you go back to Ford and try to obtain assistance based on that, two things have to happen. Number one, you have to have a check engine light. And number two, they have to identify the problem as being one of the coils.
2 minutes.
And then they take care of it. In your case, I think because there's no check engine light, I tell you what I want you to do. And you gave me some of the best information anyone has given me in a long time. I want you to get it to happen. And you say it happens around 2,000 RPMs, right?
Right around 50. Even if you're going 70, you slow down to 50, it'll start doing it.
All right. Now, I want you to get it to happen, and then I want you to keep your right foot on the throttle, and I want you just to touch the brake pedal with your left foot enough to shine the brake lights, but that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to unlock the torque converter clutch of your transmission.
Oh.
By placing your foot on the brake, I'm going to cancel your lockup. And I'm also going to move your RPMs a little bit because it's kind of like going from fifth to fourth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you say, does it happen now? And then I want you to back off the throttle. I want you to go 49 and then 48 and 47 because now I'm starting to back up your RPMs. And if you say, Mark, the minute I touch the brake pedal, it goes away and stays away forever and ever, amen, then you go in and you tell your transmission shop, let me show you what the problem is and let me show you how to get rid of it. And then you tell me what it needs. That's what you need to do.
Okay.
All righty.
And if it's a torque converter, if it's that problem, is that a serious problem?
Well, if it's a torque converter clutch, no, it could be $200, $300, $400, $500. But it could be a lot of other things too. It can be that we're losing the speed sensor, so the computer's locking the converter and unlocking the converter, and that is oftenly mistaken for an engine miss. On, off, 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 on. That kind of stuff. Doug, thanks for your call. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. Got a car question? 602-508-0960. Mark Salem.
Kelly Clark has been repairing.
The car of mine cost $14,000.99.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, we have them old car songs just because that's when it was really fun. These computerized cars are still kind of fun, but they're just a little bit more difficult to work on, and you better have a good basic fundamental knowledge, right, Dave?
Absolutely.
When customers come in and you build diagnostic time, mm-hmm. and we talked about diagnostic time being, if we look at it with our eyes, typically if we can look at it and see it within 3, 4, 5 minutes, there's no charge.
Right.
But most of it involves some preparation. If we pressure test the cooling system, that has nothing to do with the replacement of the radiator.
No.
So therefore, we're going to charge diagnostic time. On the other hand, if we take a part off and test it, and it tests bad, we can't really charge you lots of diagnostic time because there's R&R time. Take mm-hmm. it off and put it back on, and you've already paid for taking it off to test it, so you're going to only be charged to put it back on. So there's those kinds of credits. But is it make any difference when the customer comes to the front desk on how well they can tell their story?
Absolutely. It's surprising to me how many people actually come in and don't really know exactly what their problem is. I love it when the wife drops off the car for the husband and she says, well, I don't really know what the issue is, but if you drive it around, you'll probably hear it or you'll probably feel it. Well, that's not going to be enough. I mean, we're going to have to call and find out who's driving the vehicle and find out specifically what the issue is. I mean, we could hear something that they didn't hear and completely misdiagnose the problem if they're not describing exactly what the issue is.
That happens all the time.
And it happens all the time. So
The defense for that is we really need someone to, I mean, even if it's send a technician out and have him and the mm-hmm. husband get on the phone together and say, okay, tell me what to do to make it happen. Is it a chug-chug? Yeah, it's a chug-chug. Or is it a miss-miss-miss? Is it a burp?
Caller Don.
Stuff like that.
Right.
So, all right, let's go to Don. And anybody else? 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Don, you're up. Good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have a 1990 Ranger pickup, and I was having a problem here over the last couple months. I was getting a strong fuel smell.
Okay.
And then in the hottest part of the afternoon, when I go to take off from a stop, it would sometimes stall and die on me. I took it into a shop. They diagnosed a bad fuel pressure regulator.
Okay.
And they said it was leaking. And they replaced that, It worked okay for a couple of days, and then yesterday afternoon, same thing happened. About the latest part of the day, about 3 o'clock or so, when it was real hot, it started dying on me again. And so I got to where I was going, and I parked it for a couple hours, and then it seemed to run all right again.
Okay. All right, well, there's a couple things that are going on here. The fuel pressure regulator is a vacuum-controlled device, and when you stomp your foot on the throttle hard to say, let's giddy up and go, the fuel pressure regulator raises the fuel pressure for the demand.
Uh-huh.
And when it's bad, it causes the pump to deadhead. Otherwise, the pump's pumping forward, and we're not returning anything to the tank. And as a result of that, you're working the pump pretty hard. Now, between 1 and 2, Dave, I'm thinking, between 1 and 2, between the repair and now, does that fuel smell come back?
No, the fuel smell stopped.
Okay.
That doesn't seem to be a problem. And like I say, it seems to run good in the mornings. It
2 minutes?
Just seems to be the hottest part of the afternoon when it gets over 100. Mm-hmm. And I noticed before they replaced the fuel pressure regulator, it seemed to be worse when it had over a half a tank of gas.
Okay. I don't know if the fuel pressure regulator is going to have anything to do with that. I would have thought, though, Dave, if it's full of gas and runs good, and if it's a quarter or less and it runs bad, then what?
Maybe an issue with the fuel pump?
Exactly. Because the fuel pump's going to be lubricated and cooled mm-hmm. by the gas in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And it sits there about a quarter tank. So the college kids at ASU that run around with $3 of gas in their car, they're the ones we put pumps on every
right.
year.
Not doing any favors for that fuel
exactly.
pump at that point.
Because the fuel pump isn't being lubricated or cooled. In your particular case, it's really easy to determine. Do you know where the fuel pressure regulator is?
1 minute.
No.
Okay. The fuel pressure regulator is this little round device that's going to be on the fuel rail, and really and truly all you do is pull the line off of it and sniff the line, and if they replace the line, there shouldn't be any liquid gas in there whatsoever.
Okay.
That's you need to take it back to them and tell them what you just told me, because if I were the shop that did that work, I would say, first, let's make sure that the fuel pressure regulator we got on there didn't fail, but because there's no fuel smell, I'm willing to bet it didn't fail. The second part is, let's put a fuel pressure gauge on there, let's tape it to your windshield.
Right.
Don, will you spend $50 on a diagnostic process where we're going to use you to help us? I'm going to install this fuel pressure regulator. I'm going to tape it to the outside of your windshield, and you're going to drive it for 2 days. You're going to owe me $50, but I wanted a $100 deposit on the tool. And when you come back, you're going to tell me, Mark, you're right about da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
And that makes all the... Okay, hold on. I got to take a break. You stay right there. We'll be back to pick you up. 602-508-0960.
Hello.
Most Friday nights, I can be found in the bed of my truck on an old chase line.
Welcome back, everybody. 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located in Mesa. They're on Stapley, just east of Stapley from Main Street. So Main Street and Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. Thompson's has been in business since 1970. That should tell you something. They're a AAA-approved shop. And they were named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. That's why I'm proud to have Brian and Thelma, the owners of Thompson's Auto Repair, on our best car list that you can see at marksalem.com. Dave?
Hey, Don, I had a question on your Ranger. How many miles do you have on this thing?
Boy, it's probably... This thing had sat for years, your neighbors. I'm not real sure. I think it's showing about 100,000.
Okay.
And when I purchased the truck, it had a hole in the fuel tank, and I got another fuel tank for it, and I had a neighbor replace that for me, and I bought a new fuel pump and filter and everything, mm-hmm. but it was an AutoZone deal.
Okay.
So the pump is about a year old.
All right. Well, we've had pumps that have... you know, really good name brands on them that have failed after a year. But this is a simple thing. We just need to test it in the environment it lives. So if you get him to rent you a fuel pressure gauge, then, you know, start with get the tank as low as you can before he gives you the gauge. And or you can say, you know what, I'm just going to drive it for a week below a quarter tank and see if it happens a lot. Then I'm going to fill it up all the way and see if it happens less. And then you'll know it's the fuel pump. One other quick thing, and that is the fuel pressure regulator, I kind of misspoke. The fuel pressure regulator either is going to dam up the fuel system or it's going to let it run free. And either way, the fuel pump is going to take a beating. Because if I squeeze off the hose and don't let any water come out of it, it's going to pressurize the hose and cause a problem. But if I open the hose up, no matter how fast the pump tries to build pressure, it can't, because what's going in is coming out. So the fact that you don't smell the fuel anymore, which is a real key, and poor fuel economy. I'm sure you had really bad fuel economy.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Okay, and you smelled sulfur a lot when you were driving it around. Then those are the keys. So just take it back and talk to them. But I think you have a possible bad fuel pump that's either related to the quality you first got the first time, or it's related to the fact that the pressure regulator was out for quite a while. Okay?
Right. I got one more quick question if I can.
Go ahead.
On the pricing of a fuel pressure regulator.
Okay.
They're a Napa service center.
Uh-huh.
And they charged me $258 for the regulator and $50 labor. And I called Napa, and they had two regulators. One was 106, and one was 116.
Wow. You know, I just wrote a blog for the Arizona Republic under the car section about this exact same thing. I could beat your story. I had a transmission computer go out on my brother's motorhome, and one shop bid the computer for $5,400.
I heard you talk about that last week, I think. Yeah.
That's right. And the other one was $2,700. I think you need to do a little bit more research, but let me just tell you this. We buy for pretty close what you buy. And we try to work off of, 25 to 35 to 45%, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So if a guy buys something for $100, he may charge between $140 and $170 for that part.
Oh, I think that's fair.
Okay. But I think you just need to go back in a nice way, say, would you double check this? The other day I found out about a shop. The guy had bid, you heard this too. The shop had bid this job for $589, and the guy calls around and bids exactly the same gasket, the same labor, the same oil change and the tax, and everybody else is $325 to $370.
Yeah.
And what's happening, I'm gonna tell you the truth. I always do anyway. What's happening is there's a lot of shops that are in deep financial condition. And they're starting to balloon up all their labor and all their parts to stay afloat. And because school started early this year, our business fell down. Now, they didn't pay back their credit lines in the summer when we have to make hay when the sun is shining. So they're going into the winter with a credit line maxed out, and they're in big trouble.
I thought the labor rate was real fair. It was only $50.
Yeah.
But I looked at that.
It's bothersome.
He gave me a price on the phone before they did it, and he said $333 for the whole job or something. I says, well, go ahead if that'll fix the problem. And he said it would fix that stalling out. And so when I went down to pay it and they showed me the bill, like I say, it was $50 labor and $258 to come to $365, something like that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to raise any stink right then because it was right around his closing time.
Yeah, just go back. Just go back and ask him. Would you reevaluate this? I think there may have been a mistake, and perhaps it's an honest mistake, because the other day we got caught with our pants down. What we did was we took the list price and added our market to it because nobody looked at the ticket right. But when they said to us, Mark, this is way out of whack, I go, I know what happened. Here's your money back. As a matter of fact, I gave them all their money back on the profit, and I showed them the receipt, and I said, here's why. We looked at the wrong number. Anyway, I got to run. Thank you very much.
Okay, I appreciate it.
You betcha. Thank you.
Okay.
This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto. Folks, if you live south of Indian School between the 101 and the I-17, and you don't have a good repair shop that you trust, that you like the owner, you like the techs, and you like the service, then may I suggest Larry Harker's Auto. They're at 38th Avenue in Indian School. He's a trusted name for quality, affordable automotive service. Bob and Ellen Frisbee, they own Larry Harker's Auto. And if you don't like what Bob says, go talk to Ellen. It's just that simple. Ellen is a strong cowgirl, and Bob's a really nice guy. You can't go wrong. So between I-17 and the 101, south of Indian School, if you don't already have a shop you love, you'll love Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Les, you're up next. Les, how can I help you today?
I've got an 85 Mercury Cougar, and it wouldn't start. I tried your trick of little carburetor cleaner in the carburetor, and it fired right up.
Okay.
So then I was looking in the book, and I saw a fuel pump test port. So I jumped the test port to see. Car runs fine with that jumper.
Okay.
It won't run without that.
Are you bypassing the relay, the fuel pump relay?
I guess with that test port I am. I don't know. Because the fuel pump doesn't start if you don't do that, right? It doesn't turn on.
Okay. There has to be some wiring diagrams, but now are you unplugging something to bypass it and plug a jumper wire in and then it starts?
No. Under the hood, there's a little thing there called a fuel test port, fuel pump test port.
Okay, I know what you're doing. I know. That's the ALDL connector, the assembly line data link connector. That's where we plug our computers into. You're just jumping the fuel pump at that place.
Right.
Okay, so you have to figure out why, when the key comes on, that it's not firing up the fuel pump. You have done a magnificent job, but you need a wiring diagram now because you're going to take the power and the ground off the fuel pump and follow them forward. Now, if the ground comes out of the gas tank and goes to the frame, you don't need to worry about that end. You got to find out why that's power isn't there. So you go backwards and, look here, the power goes to a relay that's located right here. And when I turn the ignition key on, the ignition key powers the relay, closes the set of points, and sends 12 volts to the pump. Well, that 12 volts isn't there, so the relay's bad, or something like that. I'm going to guess that most shops on a diagnostic portion of this would probably charge you less than 100 easy. Mm-hmm. Less than 100 easy. To diagnose it, and then you could fix it. But this could be one of those things that costs $75 to find it and $1.50 to fix it.
Right.
That could be that. So that's my advice. And you did a great job, by the way. What you did is a great job.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. If you're up at 19th Avenue, I-17, 19th Avenue, somewhere around there, I-17 and Bell Road, it's a great place. Kurtz Auto Repair, the guys there, they are happy. They are just happy all the time. Whenever I see them at meetings, whenever I talk to them on the phone, they just love working there, and they're just really, really nice, happy guys. I wish I could be as happy as they are. But Kurtz Auto Repair, he does everything. Gas, diesel, domestic imports, I-17 and Bell Road. They've been around since 1992. So if you're looking for a good shop up north, Kurtz certainly holds down that I-17 and Bell area just perfect. Now, folks, on our website is the best car repair shops in Phoenix. And here's the difference. Everybody else says on their website, all these other places, Dex, To Fix It, Yelp, Garage Fly, Great Garage, Kudzu, NARPRO, Your Auto Network, AAA, they all say this. You use these third-party sites at your own risk, or they say we don't guarantee the services or the parts they provide. This is what I say. It's written on my website. If you have a problem with one of my shops on the best car repair list, and the Better Business Bureau agrees with your version, and the shop refuses to either make a refund or fix your car, I personally will carry out the specific directives of the Better Business Bureau, including repairing your car and or issuing a refund up to $5,000. Let me tell you why. $5,000 covers the transmission. $5,000 will cover some engines, right, Dave?
Some of them, yes.
So I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I don't charge these guys that. No way, shape, or form. But I have that much faith, and I've been doing this since 1988. That list was developed in 1989. And you know why? Because the number one question on the radio has always been, where's your shop, Mark, or where's a good shop to go? I can't possibly address all of you, but I can tell you where in your neighborhood is a great shop, and I've already done your homework for you. Everybody else brags about how many different filters they run these guys through, but when you get down to it, they say stuff like this. It says, we do not guarantee the services, repairs, or products they provide. You are solely responsible for any damage or loss that may incur from your use of any of our services. And then this one's the best one. Your Auto Network is not responsible for any work and all work that is provided by our members. So how much faith do they have in the shops they're telling you to go to? It isn't, and folks, I've never spent a dime Never once. You know what? We've never even been to the Better Business Bureau level of arbitration. All the complaints have been settled before we got to arbitration. I've kicked two shops off our list, you can read about that, for ethical and pricing issues. I'm not afraid to do that. That's an important thing that all of us must do. And rarely do you ever hear anybody else get kicked off, and if they get kicked off, it's because they didn't pay their bill. Hmm. They didn't pay their membership fee.
Right.
Some of those places charge membership fees monthly that I charge for a year or a year and a half. So this isn't a money-making venture. This is my way to support our industry in the way I can. Last but not least, if you're needing a good body shop up in North Phoenix, Greg May and Phoenix Body Works is a great place. He is insurance company friendly, but he doesn't dance to their music. If they want him to cut corners, he's very polite, and
Two
he's very
minutes.
Good at describing the issue to them and getting them to see it his way. He's very good at fixing your car, and you are his customer, so he's watching out for you when you take your car in. He's been in the Phoenix area since 1982, and they have all the normal lifetime warranty, free computerized estimates, so forth and so on. Their employees are ASE certified and ICAR certified. That's mechanical and paint and body. And remember, Arizona law says it's your vehicle and you get to choose the body shop you want, and you do not have to use the one that the insurance company said to use. So they're located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. So everybody north of Bell Road, from the east to the west, they're centrally located right off I-17, Phoenix Body Works and Greg May. It's a great staff. Dave, what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Well, I'm looking forward to going out to the Rattlers game tonight, a little arena football.
1 minute.
I'm a fan. But other than that, just going to enjoy the day, enjoy the weekend.
How many times have you been hit in the head during your hockey? your hockey, what is it called? Your hockey?
I play hockey, amateur hockey. Not many, actually. I think that hasn't happened for many years.
I had to tease you about that. Oh, Dave is a hockey fan. I tell you what, if you want to talk hockey, Dave's a good guy to do it. All right, we'll be back next week. And you can also go to our website, marksalem.com, and leave me an email message, and I will personally answer it. Everybody that sends me an email about a car question, if you'll put car question or car problem or car repair in the subject line, you'll make it through my spam filter. And I will answer you. I will tell you the truth. Now, if you ask me where you want to go, I'll help you with that too. So wear your seatbelt, don't drink and drive, and I'll see you next Saturday right here on 960.